I wanted to talk to you today. In the beginning of the year, I just want to set you up for success. I want to set you up. The beginning of the year is cool because we can kind of get optimistic. We, can come up. We talked about how to set some resolutions and be able to stick to those resolutions. I kind of want to continue that kind of theme today, and I want to talk to you about real transformation. How many ever lost 20 pounds? How many ever gained that 20 pounds back? Okay. So, somebody said more. I didn't say that. But what I want to go over with you in the Word is so really jugular to real change happening in your life. But in order to get this, you've got to take off your religiousness. There are things that we learn from being in church, and some of those things that we've learned in the past aren't necessarily biblical. But because we learned them in church, we identify with that and we grab a hold of it and we won't let go. And then someone, i.e. me, or somebody else, challenges those beliefs, and without an openness to at least listen to it. I'm not saying you need to receive this today. All I'm suggesting to you is at least listen to it with an open mind, recognizing that maybe there was some preconceived notions that you picked up in church that were not biblical. Now, I'm not, that is good, thank you. But I don't want to belittle in any way your upbringing. Because I believe for most of us, when we went to church, almost everything that we learned was biblical and true and right and good. Hello? Amen. I mean, when I grew up, you know what? My father pastored, you know what? And was a wonderful pastor. Matter of fact, I had a friend, you know what? Bless his heart, just bless me like I can't express. But he sent me a picture of him being baptized by my dad. Let me tell you what, if anybody knows my dad, let me tell you what, my dad was a good pastor. He just was. He just loved people. But I'm able to separate all the good things that I learned in the little Baptist churches that my dad pastored, but I'm able to separate my dad in his theology wasn't perfect. But what we have a tendency to do, can I preach to somebody today? What we have a tendency to do is kind of do a don't talk about my mama. Hey, listen, I love your mama, but your mama's not perfect. Amen. No, she is. Love you. No, she is not. Amen. That's mean, but that's truthful. That's what I'm saying. You just won't give up. No, don't talk. I'm not talking about your mama. I'm just pointing out that she wasn't perfect. That's all I'm saying. And listen, I'm telling you what, my dad was awesome. My dad was an awesome pastor. But theologically, he wasn't perfect. And I don't know what kind of church you went to. Maybe you went to Maybe you went to a Baptist church like I did. Maybe you went to a Catholic church. Many people come from a Catholic background. Many people come from, maybe you went to a Foursquare church. Maybe you went to Assemblies of God church. Maybe you didn't go to church at all. I don't know. But if you did go to church, what I'm going to say today, what I need to say before is please just have an openness to allowing the scripture to teach us theology. You know what causes the word to have no effect in your life? You know there's something that can hinder the word that you will have, the word will have no effect in your life? Do you know that? You know what it is? If you know, don't tell me. If you know what it is, raise your hand. Okay. Thank you for your honesty. Here's what it is. It is the tradition of men, the Bible says, causes the word of God to have no effect in your life. Here's why. Because you go, no, my tradition's right, God's wrong. Can I tell you what? If you shut God out, understand this, you can shut God out of your life if you want to. God never shoves truth down your throat. Now, he'll do a lot to get truth to you. But if you want to reject it, you can just look in your Bible, all the people that saw all the miracles of God. Jesus Christ doing signs and wonders. And after, they'd come up to us and say, show us a sign. And Jesus was like, are you kidding me? Then one place he said, seeing they don't see. And hearing they don't hear. I'm taking this time because what I'm about to preach to you, if you receive it, it will help you to have real transformation in your life. But in order to do that, I'm going to come against some things that I was taught and that I know permeate the body of Christ in the last 40 years. So all I'm saying is, if you would just prepare yourself for something that might sound different, but understand, I'm not going to tell you what I think. I'm going to show it to you. Several places. Everybody say several places. That's different. Several places in the Word of God. Amen. And it'll become clear. And I'm believing, I'm praying for you that you will receive it today. Amen. So let's talk about change that really lasts, change that really works. Does anybody have, I'm just asking, does anybody have anything that they want to change in their life? Okay, thank you for your, okay, at least that's a good place to start. Amen. We need help. Amen. That could be my first point. We need help. Amen. I think that's my first point every Sunday. Amen. Because that's a good place to start. Amen. I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're, you know, Mother Teresa spiritual. How many know Mother Teresa would be the first one to say that she needed help? See, that humility brings, the Bible says, if you're humble, you're going to receive more grace. How many want more grace? Then let's stick with that humility because it's a good place. And the truth is, every one of us need help, including myself. So let's start off there, okay? But how do we really make some change that is going to last, that is going to be different, that is going to help us in our homes? How many need some help in your homes? Thank you. Amen. So let's look at some scriptures. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And I'm going to show you something that is just, you ever read something in the Bible and you go, man, that's weird. You know what I mean? You kind of don't, that's weird. Well, what's with that? Paul is going to tell us something that's weird. I'm going to show it to you. Watch this. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness and of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Oh, that's good. Ever say perfecting holiness? See, you ought to be holy. Why? Because God is holy. We are to be imitators of God. Well, I can't. Shh. Quiet. Stop saying that. Okay. Paul is telling us to do something, and he's not telling us to do something that we can't do. Here, that's a good thing. You want some good theology? Why in the world is Paul telling you, oh, you can do this, but you can't do it? That doesn't make sense. And it's not good theology. Paul says, here's what you need to do. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Next verse. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. That's weird. Particularly when he says, we have wronged. He's including himself. He's saying, we have not wronged no one. Now let me show you why that's so weird. Turn over to, or look up on the screen with me to Acts chapter 8, verse 3. For Saul is Paul, same guy. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Dragging men and women, committing them to prison. For doing something wrong? Well, according to him, according to the religious leaders at that point in time. But here's what trips me out. If that's what he did, how in the world does he say later on, I've wronged no one? Well, let's just keep that question there. And let's flip on over to Romans. Romans chapter 7. And I'm going to read you a passage of scripture, and I'm going to show you what most people do, and I'm going to show you that's the problem. That's why real transformation doesn't even happen in Christian people. I'll say it to all segments. That's why real transformation doesn't happen even in Christians. Amen. I'm not talking about when we die. I'm talking about here on this earth. That's why, I'm going to show you why, real transformation doesn't happen in Christians. Are you ready to see this? Okay, Romans chapter 7. Okay. Romans chapter 7, starting with verse 14. Now we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I do not will to do, I agree with the law that is it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin it dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I do with will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then the law of that, the law that evil is present with me, the one who dwells, who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God, the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of the mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from a body of death? Now, we read that passage. How many ever heard that passage or read that passage? Okay. And let me just tell you what most people gravitate to, what most Christians will relate. Here's what most Christians, after reading that passage, here's what most Christians and probably you will relate to, and it's this point. That Paul says, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I do. How many, be honest, you've heard that passage and that's what stuck out to you? Somebody, raise your hand. Is that the truth? And for many of you, what I read today, the same thing happened. You thought, yeah, man, that's me, man. Dude, I'm like Paul. Because, man, I didn't want to smoke that doobie. But I was over at my friend's house, and they were watching the game, and somebody sparked it up, and they passed it to me, and I was just like, oh, man, I didn't want to do it. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Or whatever it is, right? Right? See, that's what you relate to. And listen, and Paul is being honest, but can I tell you what? You missed the whole point of the passage. You missed the point of the passage. How many know there's words that if you will put the emphasis on the wrong syllable, it won't even sound like the same word? Hello? I want you to look at a couple of scriptures in this passage that I just read. I want to take a little bit of time today. Can I teach the word a little bit? Yes. Are you disciplined enough to follow me as I just teach for a little while? Okay, so I want to go to a couple of passages. First, look, same chapter, I just read it. And when I read it, you'll go, oh, that was there? Okay, first go to the, we'll have it up on the screen. First go to verse 17. Look what he says. Verse 17. But now. Now, everybody say this, but now. Okay. See, I'll tell you your problem in advance. Here's your problem. You identify with the wrong thing. And Paul says, but now. Let's do that again with the emphasis on now. But now. Now, if you're not born again, then this doesn't apply to you. And you can get born again today. All you have to do is ask Jesus to come in your heart, and you'll get born again today. How do I do that? Here's how. Jesus, come in my heart. I need help. No, but Pastor, no, you're supposed to say, I repent of my sin. You could say that. That's good. Say you repent. But all I'm saying is there's no formula for the sinner's prayer, but mainly to say, God, I accept Jesus as my Savior. Come in my heart. I need help. That works. And you can do that. And if you haven't done that, do that today. Maybe you're watching me through Facebook. Maybe you're watching me through cable. Do it today. Do it now. Matter of fact, I'm going to lead you right now. Because, see, we don't have to wait 20 more minutes. We can do that right now. So Bow your head right now. And maybe you're at home. Maybe you're on Facebook. Maybe you're here. Just say, Jesus, come in my heart. I need help. Thank you for helping me. Amen. I believe if you said that prayer, you became born again. I believe that. Now, let me get back to all the believers that are here. Everybody say, but now. Okay. But now, see, he's saying, now it's different than I used to be. I wasn't born again, but now I'm born again. So now, but now, it's no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me. Huh? Paul says, when I sin, it's not me. Oh, that's false doctrine. All right. Let me show it to you. Can I show it to you again? Remember I said, I'm going to show you stuff repeatedly? Look at verse 20. He says almost the exact same thing. Now, if I do what I will not to do, if I mess up, I didn't want to do it, but I did it anyway. It is no longer I who do it. It's sin that dwells in me. See, we don't have substantial change in our life because we identify with the wrong person. We identify with the old nature. People who I'm not, if you smoke dope, I'm not, you know, I'm going to sound like, oh, you're saying this for me. You're just picking on the dope smokers. Well, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm saying you don't need marijuana to make you happy. That's all I'm saying. You know what? You don't need any drug to make you happy. And matter of fact, those drugs are going to make you sad. They're a fake out. They're a phony. They're going to jack you up. Okay. So but here's what I'm saying. You will continue to smoke dope until you see your, why are you smoking dope? Here's why you're smoking dope. Because you're a dope smoker. Pastor, you are deep, man. This is the deepest church I ever been at. I know it. But at least we're going to understand what God is speaking to us. Amen. Oh, a pastor was so deep. You know, he was so deep. I didn't even know what he was saying. I don't know how deep that is. But all I'm saying is, get the point. Whatever you are, you're identifying with that's who you are. That's why you do what you do. And you are not going to stop smoking dope until you become a non-dope smoker. See, your thoughts are prerequisite to what you do. Your thoughts are prerequisite to what you do. If you're a, how do I say it politely? I'm not going to mean, no. No, don't think you're going to bait me with that straight up. No, we're polite, amen? If you have a lot of sexual encounters outside of your marriage, you know what? If you see yourself as a player, then don't be surprised when you wake up and you're like, ooh, what am I in this bed for? Here's why. Because you're a player. Because you identify with that. Paul is saying, in the midst of him saying, man, there's times I blow it, but he won't identify with the flesh man. Are you catching this? And here's what we do. We read chapter 7 up to verse 24. Go to 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Man, that's me. I'm just like Paul. Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa. You're not like Paul. Not if you're identifying with that wretched man, you're not. Because Paul won't identify with that wretched man. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from death? And we stop. We don't understand. This was a letter written. He didn't say verse 25, chapter 8, verse 1. But we read it like that and we stop right there and we say, that's who I am. And that's why there's not substantial, that's why there's not significant change. Because a dope smoker will continue to smoke dope. You know what? A sexer will continue to, I'm not talking about inside marriage. Inside marriage, man, go for it. Have a lot of sex, amen. I'm going to say, amen, amen, amen. Why? Because let me tell you what, I taught this Wednesday, because that's how God wants you, how God wants you to function. You are separated to your wife, and she's separated to you. Amen. I'm talking about outside, or whatever it is, whatever issue you're having. You know what? If you get angry all the time, you know what? Let me just say this. If you get angry all the time, I could almost guarantee you, here's what you've said before. You've said, I don't know, my mama was like this, my grandma was like this. You know what? We're like, you know, dude, I'm Italian. What do you expect? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Dude, I'm Irish. You know, I just that's how I act. That's how we act. You know what's funny about anger? You know what? I found every single nationality thinks they're the angry ones. Don't you know I'm German? I'm German. Don't you know I'm one of those Latinos? What is that? Is this not true? Is that everywhere? Hey, and so here's what you're going to keep on getting angry. Amen. Why? Because that's who you are identifying with. And Paul says, let me tell you what, even when I sin, I'm not going to identify. I didn't even do that. I know that's right. You say, well, Pastor, here's what I heard growing up. You know what? I'm people who were born again, love God, serving God in prayer, tithers. I mean, people completely committed to Christ. And they'd say over and over and over again, you know what? Well, you know, we're all just sinners saved by grace. And then I better stop you before you say amen. And then people say, amen, amen. No, not amen. A, be quiet. Right? Why? Here's why. Because are you born again? If you're born again, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Can I show you some other scripture? Yeah. See, I'm telling you what. I'm going to stop soon, but I could preach this till 8 o'clock tonight and still not even start to touch the scriptures in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that talk about this. So let me just show you one that's so powerful. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. Paul's saying, let me tell you what, we are telling you what he said is the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just being straight up to you. I'm telling you what God is saying. Look at Romans chapter 11, or Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, we also, listen, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, you didn't know that the New King James, you know what, was written by somebody from the South, did you? You see it? Reckon. Man, I reckon. You know what that means? It means, here's what I want you to do. I want you to change your mind. Reckon, change your mind concerning, listen to me, concerning, what's it say? Yourself. And here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that pot smoking, sexing up and, you know what, totally fly off the handle at nothing, out of control anger, you know what, oh, selfish, I want you to see that person as dead. That person is dead. Listen, you ever had somebody who died, and let's say they're smoking a bunch of dope before they died. You go up to their casket, and you spark up a doobie. And go, dude, take a hit of this. No, this good stuff, man. This is good stuff. Can I tell you what? That dead person is not tempted one iota. I mean, he's just lying there like, I ain't even touching that stuff. Why? Because he's dead. See, identify yourself as being dead to all those ungodly behavior. And let's be honest, this God, guys, please understand, God's not trying to get in the way of your fun. Hello? God's trying to save you. You know what? These things that we used to do, don't ever, ever, ever look back at those party days with fondness. You remember, you know what? No, don't remember that. Remember going to the doctor's office and him telling you that you're pregnant, you know what, and you not knowing who the father was. Remember that feeling. Ooh, got quiet here all of a sudden. Amen. Remember that feeling. Amen. Because God has never told you anything. God is a loving God. He is always trying to save you from this junk. He wants your life to be filled with joy and peace and comfort. And you know what? The Christian life is the best life. Amen. Okay. So I'll go over one more thing and then I'll stop. First Thessalonians 5. Are you getting anything out of this? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says this. Look what it says. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole, here's what I want to get to, spirit, soul, and body be presented blameless at the coming of the Lord Christ Jesus. Here's all, I will just have that scripture show you one thing. Everybody say spirit, soul, and body. We need to understand the spirit, soul, and body. That's what messes us up. Now, say it like this. I am a spirit. Everybody say it. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. You are not your body. And you are not your soul. What's your soul? Your mind, your will, and emotions. Your mind, well, that's who I am. Stop identifying with that. That's not who you are. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So you either got three things going on in your life. It's either two against one against two, or three against none. Can I teach you this? Make sure you're writing this down. Okay. One against two is the spirit against your body and your soul. And that's where most Christians live. They identify, they keep on identifying with, I can't lose weight. You know what?
I
eat one chip and it just, boom, goes right to my hips. You know, that's just how it is. Okay. And that's an emotional thing. That's not true, but you think it's true because you dieted for 2 days and you got on the scale and you didn't lose any weight and you're like, oh, that's how it is. And so you get emotion. How many know these things are tied into our emotion? So, it's either one against two. Can I show you that in Scripture? Romans chapter 8, verse 5. This is where most people live. Christians. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's your problem. You're setting your mind on the flesh. It's like, I always get angry. That's how I am. I always have a problem with this area. Yada, yada, yada. And what are you going to do? Those who live according to the flesh, what's the problem? You set your mind there. They're doing this. For those, see, Paul's saying, guys, love you, but I'm going to teach you how to get out of this mess. Your problem is you're setting your minds on the wrong things. I smoke dope. I just, you know what, have outside relation, you know, sexual relationships. I just get angry all the time. I'm just a tightwad. You know what I mean? I'm just selfish. You know what I mean? You identify with these. Oh, you know what? I just go to church when I feel like it, and I don't feel like it today. All these things you're identifying, and that's who you that's who you think you are. Notice who's responsible. The good news is, Paul says you're responsible for that so we can get out of this mess. Yeah. And most of the time, but your spirit is raw. Your spirit loves church. Your spirit loves to give. Your spirit doesn't need any of those outside sources to get high. Amen. Amen. But it's two against one. So it's either that or it's two against one, or it's, wait, it's either one against two, the spirit against your spirit, the spirit against your soul and your flesh, or it can be two against one. It can be your spirit, and you get your soul working with your spirit. How do you do that? You do that by looking at the Bible. Look at what the Bible says about you. Changing your mind. We're not conformed to the word, but we're transformed by the renewal of the mind. Now what do you got? Now you got your thinking straight. You still got your flesh. You got your spirit. How many know your spirit is rock steady? Your spirit's like, dude, I'm a Christian. You know what I mean? We used to sing a song when I was a children's pastor. You know what? I am a Christian. I am a Christian. A mighty, mighty Christian. Awesome song. Anyway. Your spirit is going, that's where your spirit, man, is like, I'm rock steady. You know what I mean? But if you start to look at who you are in Jesus Christ, you'll transform your soul and it'll get the side of your spirit. Now you got two against one. How many know this is good? Amen. Let me go over some scripture with that real quick. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, we just reckon yourself dead to sin. You're changing your mind. You're reckoning. It's your mind. Romans 12:2. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, contrary steadfast in love. Is there here? Romans, no, 12:2, not 12:12. Just so you know, I'm the one who wrote that, so that's my mistake. It looks like it's their mistake, but it's my mistake. Okay. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. You know what? And James chapter 1, verse 22 through 23. Look at this. But be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. Watch this. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he's like a man observing himself in a mirror. This is important. Everybody say, observing yourself in the mirror. Okay. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. Okay. But, everybody say, but. That's the same as Paul saying, but now. See, it's all different now. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is like a forgetful here, is not a forgetful here, but a doer of his work. This one is blessed in what he does. Here's what this guy does. He keeps on looking at not the mirror, but the mirror. See, you look in the mirror and you go, ooh, man, you know, that's, and you forget, and it's, you know, you got to go back. How many know you look in the mirror a lot? Right, because you forget what you look like, amen? But if you look in the mirror, if you read, no, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you know what, you know a scripture I'm meditating on, reading it almost every day? I'm reading Matthew chapters 4 and 5. Why? Because there Jesus Christ says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the humble, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I'm just saying, I'm blessed, man, because I'm hungry for Christ. I'm blessed because, you know what, I'm walking in humility. I'm blessed because, you know what, I'm going to inherit the earth. I'm blessed because I'm going to walk in this meekness that God, not, you know what I mean? And see, we live in such a world of, you know what, pride and arrogance. Man, the Holy Spirit is saying, you need to read that over and over and over. And what I'm seeing, oh, now what do I see? That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. Oh, yeah, that's who I am. When you look in the perfect law of liberty, it reveals to you your spirit. And it changes your mind. Now what do you got? You still got the flesh on this side going, come on, man. Smoke it. Toke it. You know what? Drink it. Right? 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 Come on, somebody. Okay. But hey, how about this? How about three against nothing? You want to see this one? Listen, I never learned this in the Baptist church growing up. Never. I did learn, you know what? Well, I'll tell you what, we're just sinners. You know, praise God, someday we're going to be in heaven. True story. I remember our church youth group going to winter camp and all the guys going to the woods and smoking dope. Yeah, someone said, what? I thought you said your church group youth group was good. No, not ours. I'm sorry. When I was a kid, amen. Hey, how many know details matter? When I was a kid. But how many know that's crazy? That's crazy. Okay. Why did we do that? Here's why. Because we identified. Why? Because our leadership just told us over and over and over again, you're just sinners. You're just sinners. You're just, and yes, we were saved by grace, but how many know you just identify? Listen to me. We can identify with who we are in Jesus Christ. Reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive in Jesus Christ. You know the Bible says, I'll give you another, I'm not going to do it, but I could preach on this all afternoon long. You know the Bible says, put on garments of righteousness. I got the belt of truth on. I got the breastplate of righteousness on. You know what? I got the shield of faith on. Amen. I got the helmet of salvation on. And here's the thing. Like, oh, you know what? Like that helps. Yeah, no. What helps is understanding the belt of truth is to get in. You can't write on your belt, "This is the belt of truth."
Put on the belt of truth today.
That's not what he's talking about. It's figurative. Yeah, you could, but it wouldn't do you any good. What he's talking about is you, in the morning, you remind yourself that you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, that's the truth. You remind yourself that you are healed by his stripes. You remind yourself that self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and you walk in that fruit. That's how you put the belt on. I don't have time to go over all the pieces. But what I'm saying is, but I'm going to show you how to get all three on the runs. I'm going to even show you how your flesh. Oh, that's how I got into the dope smoking and you know what? Not our youth group. When I was a kid's youth group. But that was crazy. But of course it's crazy. What do you think we're going to do? We hear every Sunday, you're just a sinner. You're just a sinner. You're just a sinner. Saved by grace. You know what I mean? Well, if I'm just a sinner, then pass the doobie, because that's what sinners do. Amen. Or whatever it is. Right? So, but watch this scripture. This scripture, when I saw this, I was like, oh. Hebrews chapter 5. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 5. We'll close with this. Everybody say, I want 3-0. See, what do you don't need? You don't need one, the Spirit, warring against your flesh and your soul. You need to start looking at the Bible every day and looking at seeing who you are, and you're going to be transformed, and that soul is going to come on over to the Spirit side. Now you got 2-1. I'm going to show you, you can get that flesh. I'm telling you what, you will hardly ever find a church that will teach you this. But I'm going to teach you the truth. You can get that flesh over on the same side as your spirit and soul. And now you're going to start to walk in holiness. And let me tell you about walking in holiness. Walking in holiness isn't to go, speaking Elizabeth in English, you know what? I thou used to smoke dopeth. But now, I'm clean. Amen. Or you know what? I used to watch pornography, but now I'm holy, and you are ungodly. Come on. Come on, man. That we're not to judge. You know what? Those are outside of the world. We don't get anybody saved by that. It's the love of God that leads people to repentance. Amen. And by the way, you know what? Before you start judging the people in this room, get the log out of your own eye. Amen. All right, right. So, last but not least, you want to see 3-0, right? Okay, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. And having been perfected, he became, no. Yeah. And having become perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is, go back. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation. This is Jesus Christ to all who obey him. Interesting clause there. We need to obey Christ. Okay, next verse. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. When we do that tithes and offerings, we are raising that up to our priest. He still is the priest over the tithe. Next verse. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull in hearing. Look at your neighbor, say, I know he's not talking about you. Okay. Next verse. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Moving right along. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Keep it here, for he is a babe. He does this all the time. He says, he shows you this, and then he shows you this. Okay. So this is not 3-1. This guy is 2-1 or 1-2, but he is not probably 1-2. His spirit's probably here. His soul and his emotions and his flesh is on this side. But now he's going to show you somebody who's 3-0. Watch this. But solid food belongs to those. Everybody say, this is possible. Those who are of full age, that is. Full age doesn't mean, I know Christians that are 48 years old, and if you looked at them spiritually, they're like kindergartens. If you're 48 years old, I'm not ripping on you, okay? I don't know how old you are. But I'm saying that, you know, just going to church doesn't make you a mature believer. Okay. Those who by reason of, oh, here it is. But solid food belongs, the comparison, first the babe, now the person 3-0. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, here's the thing. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Keep it there. There's people who are doing this, and by reason of use, well, let's talk about lust. Let's talk about the mall. Somebody want to talk about the mall and lust? All the guys are like, oh, I don't think I want to. Pastor, talk about anger. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about lust right now. We're talking about the mall. So you go to the mall. And how many know there are a lot of people at the mall not dressed conservatively, not modest? How many know a lot of people all over? But you go to the mall and you know what? Everybody's on display. Thank you. Okay, so you go to the mall and you make a decision that you're not gonna do the ping pong thing today. You're not doing that. What you're going to do is you're going to honor your wife. And it don't make any difference if she's there or there's not any, or that she's not there. Now, I don't say this to pat me on the back. I'm saying this. You know what? Paul says, follow me as I'm a follower of Christ. You know, if I go to the mall, and I don't go to the mall without my wife, and I usually go to the mall and just stay in the car. But if I do go to the mall with my wife, here's what you're going to see. You're going to see this. You know what? This is an interesting pattern they have here on this floor, man. I just like how it goes. Like, man, it seems straight here. I like that. You say, well, Pastor, you're not very strong. Whatever. I've been in bondage, and I've been free. Free's better. I like coming home and looking at my wife straight in the eye and knowing that I have honored her. Now, just give me your, particularly guys, give me your best poker face right now, okay? We're not here to judge you, but we are here to help you. So here's the problem. Because you haven't had your senses, see this? Because these are the ones who have, now their body is even in control. Because they've made a decision to not look. Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes. It's preconceived. In the morning, I'm making a decision. I ain't looking at nobody but my wife. And if I'm not married, I just ain't looking at nobody. Amen? But that is a because of reason of use, having their senses exercised. I'm exercising myself not to look. Here's what happens. Even your body is able to discern that ain't good. Now let me tell you, man, that ain't going to happen overnight. And it ain't going to happen if you don't start making quality decisions that you ain't going to look. And I don't care what it takes. But Pastor, that's weird, man. I saw you at the mall the other day. You just look weird, man. You're just like this. Okay, listen. There was a time in my life, and the Holy Spirit said, start to pray this. Start to pray that you would hate what I hate. And I started praying, God, I pray that I would hate what you hate and love what you love. See, and listen, make any application you want. But here's what we've done. We have, through having our flesh exercise, we have been taught that that is good. That bikini, you know, how many know a girl in a bikini can sell anything? You know, they're selling, you know what, anything. Okay. And it don't mean any matter, you know, why? They just want you to look. And your flesh will look, having not been exercised. But you can exercise it where you start to recognize that's not good, that's bad. That's bad. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs? It says these men, they're like, ooh, check that out. Let me tell you who they are. They're like an ox. And they're in the line. And they're all happy in the line. It is good. You know what? I'm going to get some food right now because that has been the line. But today, it ain't the food line. You know what line it is? It's the slaughter line. And see, your chain is going to get yanked. And you're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your reputation. You're going to lose your jobs. And here's what I'm telling you what. You can get out. You can not only have two against one, you can get three against one. I know this is a funny time to stop, but I got to stop. But I'm saying, we can do this. Amen. We can do this. Your spirit is already there. Spirit's already mighty Christian. You get your mind over there and start looking at who you are. You're going to get your soul on this side. Listen, men. If all you do is just read Proverbs chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter 7 every day. See, I started to identify. Man, here's your problem. You identified that as good. Ladies, if you have anger issues, emotional issues, you've never identified that with the evil. Ladies, say evil.
Evil.
You're out of controlness. Is evil. Some of you men are like, say amen. Hey, don't worry about them. Just focus on yourself. Amen. But it's evil. And you've never identified that. The Bible says the wrath of men doesn't produce the righteousness of God. It's going to produce some stuff in your family that you don't want. And you need to see it that way. But men, if you need to read Proverbs 5 and 7, just read it and 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 read it. And at some point in time, you're gonna see that and you're gonna go, you're going to go, oh, because you're going to say, that's bad. At some point in time, listen to me. Listen how discerning your flesh can get in knowing. At some point in time, I used to look, but then at some point in time, I started looking away. Bad, bad. And then you know what I recognize? I could close my eyes quicker than I could look away. So I just shut my eyes just for a second till I looked away. Why? Because I can do it quicker. So, Pastor, you got this down to a science, don't you? Well, let me tell you what. In 2017, you better have it down to a science. Because you're the ox. This ain't going to hurt me. Amen. Are you getting anything out of this today? Amen. You learned something today? Okay. How many want the 3-0? Amen. If that's you, raise up your hand. Say, I want to be a 3-0 person. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Man shall not live by, say this, man shall not live by bread alone, but I'm going to live out of the word. And I'm going to train my flesh to be able to discern good from bad. Amen. Amen. I believe it.
Okay. I want to share a real important point to what Pastor Drew just said, because he talked a lot about wives. But if you're a single person in the room, you still are, you're not in you're in a marriage covenant with God. So that applies to everyone. Even though we keep saying wife, I say to Pastor Drew, we've talked about this many times, we were talking about it just this week, as a matter of fact, as I woke up and the Holy Spirit was just sharing some things with me, lust doesn't take place that it's not a double whammy. It's not just lust. It's lust, and it's a disloyalty. But I don't think that there's any woman in the room that is enough of a reason for a man not to lust. There's a reason why we're talking about this. God has created, you know what, women to be far more attractive than men. I mean, we're just more interesting. But God made us that way. God made us that way. And God has designed men to like and be attracted to women. So we can see in our society, I think of, I won't say a name of someone. I think of someone, you know what, who we all saw the scandal on the pages, and what a beautiful, beautiful wife he had. What a beautiful family he had. Was someone prettier? You know what I mean? That's not what it's all about at the end of the day. So loyalty is primary. Remember on Wednesday night, if you were here, I said, remember Pastor Drew and I always talk about, this is secondary, and I'm pointing to him and me. This covenant right here is secondary. The primary covenant that Pastor Drew has is with his God. And let me tell you something. If you don't attach yourself, single or married in this room, if you don't attach yourself to the primary covenant, there's just not enough, because the primary covenant gives you a fear of the Lord. You understand, you know what, that the reason why I am different from everybody else in society is because I'm in relationship with my God. Yeah. And this, if we, and you know your Bible, so you know that there are idols, and one of the most demonic idols in the Bible has everything to do with our sexuality. And so when we don't honor God with our sexuality, you know what? We are trading God for an idol. Why? Because we're in covenant with him or we're not. We either are or we aren't. You can't have two masters. Where did we hear that before? You can't have two masters. So you know what? There is a disloyalty to God immediately when we partake in lustful behavior, whatever that is. And so we want to be sure that we're working on it and moving to say, you know what? That's the blood of Jesus is there for us to say, you know what, Father, forgive me. You know what? Help me, God. Help me to hate what you hate and love what you love. Help me to honor you and honor my wife, if you have a wife. Or else it's just help me to honor you, God. That is very dishonoring to God when you flip him like a dime for this other idol. So it's all about us walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. And our sexuality is part of that. Amen? All right. I woke up this morning, and the Spirit of God, as I was getting ready, said something to me. And he said, you know what? He was talking to me about the importance of husbands and wives praying together. If you do not pray with your wife, husbands, you're missing a big boat. We don't have to sit down and have three-hour shut-ins together. But we do need to take, you know what, two or three or four or 5 minutes in a day and come together in agreement in prayer. Amen. There's no more powerful prayer than the prayer of a husband and a wife. Amen. Very, very important. So I want to just encourage you, if you have a wife and if you're not walking in that in your relationship, and if you're got a fiance, same thing. And I was encouraging someone this week, a couple who's dating, to daily pray together. You know, you can call it, hey, if you know I'm starting work at 6 o'clock and you're up, you know what, you know, I'm on my way just ready to walk in at 6, but no, you're just getting up and getting ready for the day. Hey, we're both up and we both know each other's schedule. We could take 3 minutes together in prayer. Keep that relationship anchored in the Lord. That is the steps of making covenant together. Because our covenant, you know what, is never just between us, it's always between us. And so why not, if you're seriously dating somebody, start to implement that practice right from the get-go? Amen? So I just wanted to just share with you what the Lord gave me in the morning time as far as encouraging you today to pray with your wives and take a few moments each day to do that. A husband is very much like a Christ-like figure to a wife. You know what? We rely on our husbands a lot. You know what? Our husbands are our covering. You know what? Like Christ is a covering. You know what? Our husbands are usually providers for us. So there's all these characteristics. I'll never forget when the Lord said to me one time, this is years ago, and he said, you rely too much on Drew and not enough on me. Amen. See, it's very natural as women to lean into that. But Drew's not my God. God is my God. And if you let your husband be that, I know we would never call him God, and you know what I mean? But in our hearts, they kind of become that. We become so reliant on them and so anchored in them. Not that these are bad things to be close, but it is a bad thing when God's not in it. Because it's just a tweak. Do you understand that? It's a tweak where I need to understand, you know what, that Drew, yes, he's my provider, but no, he is really not my provider. God is my provider. And so I hope you understand what I'm saying, because I'm not preaching today. And then as for men are the head of the household. They're the leaders of the household, right? They're the covering of the household. But who's really, you know, how good of a job is a man going to do? I mean, where is he supposed to be getting his leading from? And so when we come together, you know what? It automatically kind of just keeps us on track. Because then men, you know what, we're coming together to God, which for me as a woman, it's real clear, you're not my God because he's my God. Because we're coming together to pray to him. And for men, you know what? Men can get real self-sufficient and kind of forget they got a God. Do you know what I'm saying? And get too, but that's not good for them either. They got to be connected to God. Does that make sense? So I encourage you, you know what? If you're seriously dating, to start to implement that practice of calling one another. If you're married already, you have a husband, wife, you know what, to start to daily come in agreement in prayer together. And who knows, it might be a 30-second prayer out the door. You know what, because stuff happens and things are going on. It might be 5 minutes before you go to bed at night to just say, Father, we just thank you, you know, for this day. We thank you that we bring this to you, bring that to you. Thank you that you protect our children. You know what, pray Psalms 9:11 and 91 together over your family. Thank you for tomorrow. Thank you, it's going to be a blessed day. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? Just start to implement that practice of coming in agreement in prayer together daily. Amen.